Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to the Vice Gaming Podcast. This episode is kind of a halfway through 2016, let's see what's been out and what's coming special. So, you know, get comfortable. We're going to talk about some games and stuff. Right, so here we are, halfway through the year. My name's Mike Diver, I'm the editor at Vice Gaming. I'm joined on this podcast by a returning champion, I nearly said. I'm not really sure that's true. Steve Burns is with me, deputy editor of Video Gamer, who previously appeared on the first Vice Gaming podcast. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi. And joining me for the first time is Kate Gray.
Hello.
Freelance rancer, writer, presenter extraordinaire, does the Toku podcast with another previous guest, Holly Nielsen.
Yeah.
And you freelance for places like The Guardian?
Occasionally. When Keith's not busy.
When the guy who commissions you is able to commission you. Yeah. And also lots of full-time gigs, official Nintendo Magazine, GameSpot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've been everywhere. All over the place. Yeah.
It's a good way to start the podcast, isn't it? I keep leaning in. We've got amazing radio mics for this one. I keep leaning into a microphone that isn't there. Brilliant. Well, okay. Well, let's get started then. This is so weird, isn't it? I'm just not talking into a microphone at all. This is useless. If you're listening now at home, you're thinking, what is he even talking about? But it's just like we're having a conversation.
We've had this technology for a while.
What's that? Yeah.
We've had this tech for a while.
I know. I appreciate that. But I'm a bit of a primitive when it comes to this sort of thing. I'm gonna sit back in this nice comfy sofa. Right, Stephen Burns, why don't you tell me about one of your favourite games of 2016 so far, since we're now in June and half the year's dead to us.
Yeah, it's over. Hitman, obviously.
Let's talk about the new Hitman and how it's come out and what's happening with it.
Yeah, they really fucked the messaging badly about how it was going to come out. And
so we should say that it's episodic, right?
Yeah.
Is that officially the term for it?
Yeah. And then initially you'd be able to buy certain packs, and then you get bolt-on missions, and then they changed some of it, and they changed it again. They changed it so much that I don't actually remember what their initial statement was, and they barely know. But now you buy
Who is they, for the people who
are IO Interactive.
IO and Square, isn't it?
And Square's a publisher, yeah. So they did that, and everyone was moaning about it, and then the first mission, Paris, came out and was really good, and the quality's been really good, or better than Paris since then. It's just really, really amazingly well put together in terms of pure player agency. That's right. Get the wank hat on and we'll talk about
get the wank hat right on. But I know what you're talking about, because I mean, I've only actually played the Paris mission myself, and we've had one in Italy since then. Mm-hmm. And is Marrakesh out yet? Marrakesh is out, and there's more to come throughout the year. But the amount of freedom it gives you to assassinate your targets is really amazing in a game that, you know, these kind of quite small sandboxes, I suppose. There's a lot going on them. I've read and had conversations with people about it being a great way to do open world gaming, where like it's a much smaller space, but it's just full of fun potential. I mean, Kate, have you played around with Hitman yourself?
I've watched people play it, which is going to be the running theme for this episode.
But I get the vibe that Hitman's quite a good game to watch other people play as well. It gets quite exciting, quite tense.
I've seen people sort of doing things that I wouldn't have expected a game designer to put in there. So you can put someone in like a wood chipper machine. Why have they put that in? I'm glad they did, because that's great.
That's pretty Fargo. I'm liking that. I'm vibing Fargo.
So I really like watching, one of the best things about games, like quite open world, sort of open opportunity games, is when you're walking around and a little button prompt will come up and it'll be so weird that you're like, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put a man in a wood chipper. I'm going to like shove his face in a kettle. It's going to be great.
I'll put his whole face in just a tiny little Hitachi kettle.
I mean,
something.
As long as he's dead, who cares if it's super gross?
I mean, you've got to presumably have shown up in the kitchen just after someone's made a round. I mean, so the water that's remaining there is hot enough.
Well, perhaps you could actually switch the kettle on yourself. And then
you
just wait
a while,
for...
though, wouldn't you? Excuse me, mate. Could you just wait 2 minutes?
That's what games are about. Realism.
They are.
Kettle boiling times.
A kettle.
Next gen. I'd be up for that.
Kettle Simulator 2016. Oh. But yeah, I mean, Hitman's, you know, obviously done really well. I'm quite excited to see what comes out. And I really want to get back into it because the Sapienza, the Italy level, looks so amazing and luscious. And when I went into Square a few months ago now and I saw Marrakesh. And it's just beautiful. And it's got, you know, like underground tunnels, hasn't it? In and out of embassy. An embassy, isn't it, I think? And it's in the Medina, is that how you pronounce it? I never know. The old town of Marrakesh, basically. It looks amazing. I went there for my honeymoon. So, like, you know, brings it all back for me.
Did
you know, the murder.
Did you go around
there may have been
everyone?
Some death. I got bitten by a monkey. Oh. So I haven't died yet.
Put that monkey
that was 8 years ago. Put the monkey in a kettle.
Just saying.
Make some
monkey tea.
Gourmet food for an Indiana Jones. Phil's Temple of Doomy. Kate Gray, yourself, what's a standout game of the year so far for you?
I don't want to say all the ones, but I'm going to. It's Uncharted. I've never played an
Uncharted number
game.
Four.
Number four.
A Thief's
Uncharted, which is what it should
it
be.
It just sounds
called.
Like, you know,
yeah.
a dodgy kind of burglar's whatnot, you know.
Well,
that's a Thief's End,
that's
isn't
what
it?
I thought it would be. But I thought it would be about, you know, Nathan Drake getting his end in. But
getting
no, it's not. It's about climbing. It's about climbing and feelings.
There are a lot of feelings in it. Did that surprise you as a bit of an Uncharted debutante?
To be honest, it surprised me as someone who's not played a lot of PlayStation games. Like, I played a lot of Xbox games where the feelings are, I feel like I want to kill things.
Marcus Phoenix.
Like your wife turns up for one scene and then she's dead and you're like, oh, I have emotions about this.
That's really spoilers, mate.
It's fine. That's like every game. It's like Shadow of Mordor and, you know, Gears of War and everything. Just your wife turns up and then she's dead. And that's the feelings. And then you have Nintendo where no one has a wife. So there's no feelings to be had.
No.
So
they've
with
got
PlayStation,
big heads as well. It's hard for them to manipulate
them
their faces into one another.
Huge anatomy, but not
which
in that
good,
way.
Which is good because in Uncharted 4 there's a great kiss.
Oh,
one of my favourite
so
game kisses because Elena, you know what I'm talking about, Steve Burns. Elena's nose squidges down.
It was so cute.
It's good, isn't it?
I didn't want to.
Good physics.
I've been basically live tweeting Uncharted because I'm so impressed by all the like really dumb stuff it does. And when that nose squidge happened, I was like, oh my God.
The nose squidge.
I can't believe games have got to the nose squidge point.
It's a moment. It definitely is. Although you can imagine the actors with all their kind of mocap gear on, just kind of like. Yeah, we'll fill in the rest later, guys. You know, those massive cameras in front of their own faces.
Yeah.
But I'm now picturing Troy Baker and Nolan North doing that.
What, kissing?
Yeah, just them two together.
Well, I can't remember, in your own time.
What's the name of the woman who plays Elena Fisher? I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
Anyway, she's been in the series a long time.
She's
very
nice.
You know, has it encouraged you, Uncharted 4, to maybe go and play some of the older ones, which I believe are available on PS4?
I kind of have the thing where I don't really want to play games that, by the sounds of it, haven't aged terribly well because
you've reviewed them, did you not, Steve?
Oh yes, and the internet went
the internet had an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I did read that and it kind of put me off playing them. So
that's
thanks.
So your job is
going to have me dead now.
But Sony don't need to sell more copies of Uncharted 2 and 3, do they? I mean, pretty much everyone who had a PS3 had Uncharted 2. I'm fairly certain of that.
I mean, if Uncharted 4 is the only Uncharted experience I have until Uncharted 5, if that's a thing. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't think not playing the previous games really alters my high opinion of it. So, yeah.
In fact, they fill in a lot more of Nathan Drake's backstory in 4 than they do in previous games, to be honest, in terms of the I'm a small boy with my brother invading an old person's house.
Yeah.
And then she, well, spoilers, and then she dies.
Yep.
but I really, you know, it's all right to say that's an obvious pick, but it's a really good game.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's a lot of fun. I found the final kind of third a bit dragged a little bit once you get to Madagascar and you're constantly it's a lot of repeated, I hate the word mechanics, but you know what I mean? You're kind of doing the same things a lot.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you can throw a rope up there, and you're like, yes, I know.
Yeah, the first time you do the rope thing is awesome. And it's like, yeah.
I love it anyway.
I see where this is going. Yeah. Cool. Steve, another highlight of your year, maybe. What would you pick? Well, I know you've been playing Hitman non-stop.
Yeah, but I can't talk about Hitman again. you know, when you said about five games in the brief, you're like, I think I said three. It was definitely five. Think of five games. And, you know, I got about three. But I'll tell you one I do want to give a brief mention to. It's called Alakine's Gun. Maybe it's Alakine's Gun. I don't know. I'm unsure on the pronunciation. But it's like, you know how you get those mockbusters for Hollywood movies that are like Transformers?
Transmorphers.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So it's like that for Hitman. You play, it's set in the Cold War.
This is cheating.
And so it's the same game.
I'm not going to talk about Hitman, but...
So we can't say Hitman, but we'll do the knockoff version of it. But it was amazing to me that it seemed like the sort of game that just never got made anymore. You have that kind of double A or single A stuff started to fall out of the market or whatever because everything was going up in price. And so I'm playing this game and the whole thing seems ripped from Blood Money. It's absolutely nicked. And I couldn't believe that someone had repackaged it and just released it and gone, that's fine. But people will be fine with all these animations being exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But it's sold on the back. It's like, yeah, this is, it's kind of like Hitman. And you put it on like, no, it's exactly like Hitman. And it was, I think it was about a week before the actual new Hitman was coming out. So they had, you know, some balls on them. I was playing it like, I hate this game. Everything about it is bad. It's like buying a knockoff version of something you really like. But just enough of the original was in there for it to still be, if not fun, just engaging a way that games, you know, people are like, oh, I want to play video games for fun. It's got to be fun all the time. But this game wasn't fun. But the fact that it existed brought joy to my heart a little bit, like, so strange, bizarre experience.
So what don't
buy
is...
it. Don't buy it. But
okay. Well, it sounds like a parallel to the kind of Battleborn Overwatch situation, but on a much lower level. You know, you say this game came out first and was inferior to something that came afterwards.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there, like, Battleborn, you know. I mean, I know it's got a campaign mode, but let's be fair, it doesn't have a campaign mode that really works as a single player experience.
All I can say about Battleborn is I played it at E3 and I wanted it to be over before it was, and that was at E3.
Well, I played it at Gamescom, so it was probably the same build, wasn't it?
And, I went on a specifically Battleborn trip to play it.
Did you?
So all we did was play Battleborn.
Where did you go on a Battleborn trip?
I went to LA. It was my first time in LA.
That sounds exciting, though.
I had a lot of food, so
that happens.
That
in
was
Los Angeles,
good.
Yeah.
Didn't have to review the game. Didn't really have to do much about the
what
game.
What did you
actually.
Write? How was your
no,
game?
No, it was when I was at Xbox, I think. So I was just like, well, Battleborn's a game coming to Xbox.
And now here's Project Spark or whatever was happening that week. But I mean, Battleborn happened this year. I don't think any of us think it's one of the best games of the year so far, but maybe Overwatch is. I don't know. Overwatch has gone down really well. Blizzard's shootery, bang, first person. Everyone looks crazy amazing. Lots of different character classes. Has no story. Well, there is, you know, quote unquote lore involved, but you know, it's not like it's got a big campaign or anything. I've been enjoying it, Kate. You've been dabbling.
I have been watching people play it and not playing it myself because I know if I do, I'll either find it disappointing and everyone will shun me, or I'll just like it too much and never play anything else again. So I don't want either of those options, so I'm just not going to play it.
if these microphones are picking up a strange noise, it's not a plague of locusts at the window or something. I think it's the air conditioning.
Oh.
So please do tolerate that for a while and maybe it will stop. Or maybe we'll just have to stop and go to the pub early. We'll see what happens. I mean, at Video Gamer, who's been the main Overwatch player at there, Steve?
Alice
Bell.
Yeah.
And she's been raving about it?
Yeah, she really likes it. She gave it a 9.
Oh.
That's a strong score.
I played the beta, and there was a lot in the beta.
And it was pretty much the whole game, wasn't it? But only for a week.
And I was like, okay, I get it. I just don't really like it. People have been going absolutely crazy for it. And you can see why. It's the classic cop-out. I can see why other people like it. Like Final Fantasy.
The fact that you can recognise that in a game, even if it's not in your kind of sphere of personal preference, is a sign of a quality product.
It's well made.
I've dabbled with it. It's clearly not a genre that I'm, competitive first-person shooters are not my vibe, but I like the world, I like the colours, I like the fact it doesn't feel like Call of Duty or Battlefield or any of these kind of grey, gross, bloody things, you know. I mean, Gears of War multiplayer was great back in the day, and that was pretty gross, but it's got a kind of a spirit of individuality to it. That I
feels
really
like Time Splitters in a way.
Yeah, Time Splitters meets Team Fortress, right? Yeah. Vibe in it. Okay. After Uncharted, what else have you been playing this year? What else has been good on your radar?
So the big things I've been doing recently is a lot of iOS reviews.
Cool.
Which I'm new to.
You can carry them around with you.
Yeah.
In your pocket.
I can do a review while I'm on the toilet. That's great.
Yeah, maybe.
Can't do that with, well, you can do that with Wii U, but no one really talks about
you
that.
Can.
So basically, it's a weird world, iOS, because you don't get the kind of AAA stuff and then the indie stuff. What you do have is maybe 5 games that are good and a load of crap.
There's like 400 games a day, right, go on the App Store.
Yeah, I still stick with only 5 of those are good, if you're lucky.
Well.
So when you're reviewing most things, you're like, God, this is terrible. I don't know why anyone would play this. And then you play one that's, like, as a console game would be, yeah, it's pretty good, 6, maybe 7. As an iOS game, it's like, holy crap, this is amazing. This is a 10.
Yeah.
And there are certain games that are so good that I still play them. One of those is a game called Crashlands. It's a sort of RPG, like survival type game, bit like Don't Starve, but in space. Maybe Don't Starve is in space. I don't actually know.
No, I don't think so. It had trees.
Trees, right.
Trees are not commonly found in space.
So because it's in space, you've got like sort of spacey kind of monsters and you have to kill them, collect their bits and make them into things that will kill better monsters. And
that sounds witchery to me.
A little bit. I mean it in a kind of sort of isometric iOS game sort of way. And it's actually really well designed and really big for an iOS game, which is surprising.
Big in
most
terms
of
scale and potential for gameplay rather than memory consumption. It's not like Miitomo, basically.
No, it's a large game, but it's not crazy large. It's I think it's cloud-based anyway, so it doesn't...
Tech talk is going to go over my head still, you know?
I don't know how it works, but all the areas are really big. In sort of the same style as Don't Starve, it's just a big square and you walk around in it, and then you get access to a different themed big square, and I'm not selling it, am I?
I don't know.
Terrible.
I mean, I'm now intrigued. I mean, I don't have an iOS device anymore, not an iOS phone anymore. I'm Android.
Well,
onto the dark side.
That's a shame.
Yeah, isn't it?
No,
many days I think that's a shame, but not
yeah.
to worry.
I do think people should play it. I think it costs money, but it's hardly any money, and it's a really long game.
But small amounts of money, and I guess, like you say, can go a long way. I mean, we're seeing, I mean, we mentioned Hitman earlier on, but Hitman Go came out, didn't it, last year or the year before? It just had its definitive edition that was on PS4 and stuff, so I've only actually played it this year. And that's great, and I can totally imagine that being a real addictive game on iOS.
I never got really used to the Go games. I don't know why everyone
likes
them.
There was Lara Croft as well. Is there a Deus Ex one coming?
Yeah.
Is that official? Is that announced? Have I just broken some embargo? I think we're okay.
Someone said it to me in my house the other day.
There you go.
So
it must be legit.
I presume it's happening.
It must be happening. I'm going to mention one game that I've really enjoyed, and I don't know if anyone else did, and that was Oxenfree at the start of the year.
Oh, yeah. I just played that.
Yeah?
Because
it's just got a special expanded edition.
Yeah,
right?
I played the PS4 version, which is new.
Yeah, I played it on Xbox when it first came to PC and Xbox, I think. But it's you know, teenagers on a spooky, haunted island, an old military base, and it sounds like a terribly cliched 1980s, you know, matinee cinema setup. But it's great and genuinely quite unsettling, I found.
I mean,
the art style is somewhere between, well, it's quite cutesy, isn't it? It's point and clicky, it's kind of 2D.
It's all sort of Life is Strange, like cute font.
Yeah.
And
that extends to the cute language as well, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's hella slang in there.
Hella slang.
But I'm glad someone else has played it because I really, really took to it, and I found it quite a lot eerier than a lot of explicitly horror-based games. I mean, did you have the same thing where, like, because it's the noises. You find the ghosts or the spirits with
creeping me out
with tuning a radio.
Yeah,
it's
all sort of like backward talking and Morse code and kind of demonic voices. But you never really know what's going on half the time, which I think makes it better. because, you know, these sort of spooky things are happening and the screen goes all kind of TV sort
of... It messes with you a bit, doesn't
it? Glitchy, yeah. And there are triangles everywhere, and triangles the spookiest shape. So, you know, it all comes together to just kind of...
That's feels, official.
Yeah.
The triangle is the
scariest
shape.
Why do they only have three sides? What's up with that? They're basically pointy circles.
It's very true. I've never thought about it like that before, yeah. But now that you mention it, they are basically pointy circles. What's wrong with just being round, man?
Yeah, round. You know? It's so soft and you can stroke it and it won't hurt you.
I can roll around down a hill. A triangle just sits there in the gutter, doesn't it?
Oh, my gut is filled with triangles.
Your gutter is filled with triangles, Cracky O'Reilly. But you know, I really like Oxenfree as a kind of, you know, that meant, or, you know, it's made by Night School, a studio in America, in I want to say in California, but I might be wrong. But there was another game that came out this March time, I think, by another new studio, Campo Santo, out in America, called Firewatch. And Firewatch also did that thing that Oxenfree does really well of being a kind of unsettling, disquieting game without it being a horror game. And it's quite funny, I think we ran a piece on Vice, I'm going to say Ed Smith wrote it, but if I'm wrong, whoever did wrote it, please don't write in and tell me off and demand more money. But he was talking about how it is a really effective horror game and the way it builds up layers and layers of suspense and then doesn't take you to the horror that you're expecting.
Which upset very different, people, didn't it?
It did upset people, really? I think. People were expecting... Well, basically, I mean, I don't want to kind of spoil it for people because it's one of those games that I do... It can be finished in an afternoon. It's about 4 hours long. I think it's got a really great kind of novella-length story in it. You know, it's really, really quite moving. And my wife enjoyed it even. Like, we played it through together after I'd already played it through once. So that says something. I'd already finished it. I went back and said, listen... My wife, please sit here, and we're going to play this together, and you know, and we did that. But yeah, it's full of very real horror, and the horror in it is something that I hope it's not too spoilery. Me as a parent, I can kind of relate to, I suppose, in terms of what might befall your offspring and things. And I mean, I don't know. Did you play it, or is it something you watched?
I watched someone play it. I did play a little bit myself. So I'm probably about a third of the way through.
Oh, you're playing now? Amazing.
Well, I mean, I started playing about 4 months ago. And so technically, yeah, still playing on a hiatus.
You haven't deleted the save yet. It's still on the hard drive.
I might have done.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Steve Burns, do you want to talk a little bit about Dark Souls 3?
Not really.
Not really. I thought you were quite into Dark Souls 3.
It's a Dark Souls. I mean, I liked it.
Lots of people like Dark Souls.
It's like it's like when they reissue albums, right? And they go, oh, we found some new material. You're like, so it's like Joy Division. It's like a Japanese-only version. Everything's on there that you really love, right? But there's some other shit that we threw in. And you're like, cool. All right, so it's mostly...
Greatest hits, mega mix.
Yeah, it's really good in what it does. It starts very badly, I feel. It's,
what bothers you about the start? Because I'm pretty much not far past the start. I mean, I'm in a swamp or something still. There are some ruins, some things keep trying to pull my head off.
Yeah, it gets a bit more inventive the further you get into it. But when you start, it's quite easy. And I don't mean that in the get good. What I mean is that you're barreling through these areas and you're just coming into new places. Mm. But they're not really new because you've seen them all before. Which is to be expected from a game that has two prequels and it's a spiritual successor to something. But at the same time, you're thinking, they can't have just spent all their time doing this sort of thing. And then about halfway through the game, it really changes and gets quite a lot better. But yeah, it's an odd one. It didn't feel in the beginning like... People like, oh, they're so hard. But they're not. They just demand certain things. That players don't necessarily always want to put in. But it seemed just far too easy. And so all of the strategies that the game wanted you to employ, you didn't need to. So you could just run from bonfire to bonfire. And that seemed to be against the spirit of the thing. Which was great for getting new people in. And I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with it, being able to pick it up and actually get out of the first two areas or whatever. Mm.
You can beat a few bosses in a row.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I mean, there's a boss when you're there. And it's in the series... There's a lot of bosses that just kill you as a matter of course before the story proper begins.
Yeah.
Especially in Demon's Souls or whatever. And you can beat those bosses. Someone's done that, obviously, in a pair of pants, just rolling around.
With a stick.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought language. It was really, really good, quite accomplished, but at the same time, it's just, as soon as I finished playing it, it just deleted from my brain. It didn't leave that. To me, after Bloodborne, there's the same problem for the team. They had to follow Bloodborne. So everyone else has got to do the same thing, and they had to. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. Just didn't. It's still really good, but it didn't have that impact.
Is it a good thing
that
series is kind of essentially done now? I mean, that was it for Dark Souls, right, I think.
Yeah, but until someone needs some more cash, but but yeah, I think everyone needs a bit of a break from that. And what I love is I want to see that team take that sort of gameplay and, like, in a kind of Martin Scorsese sort of way, instead of just doing, like, Goodfellas and Casino, and they're obviously great, but then start branching out into other stuff, using the themes and all that cool stuff, move away from the high fantasy or fantasy elements into stuff like Bloodborne, really gothic, really cool. I want to see them take those and transpose them somewhere else rather than just recycling
the
same things.
You want Bloodborne, but with a Sunset Overdrive aesthetic? Is that what we're talking about?
Like Sunset Overdrive.
Can you imagine?
No.
Like Watch Dogs 2, that reveal reminded me of a bit of Sunset Overdrive. Dudes, cool. We're being cool. It's like, what?
Yeah. We might mention Watch Dogs 2 later. I watched all the reveal today, and it was a bit like, nah.
Yeah.
I've kind of seen this game before.
Like
some of the art involved was so, like, early 90s Mega Drive game cover art that I was just like, whoa. I'm just going to, like, wait for the next E3 reveal. It's going to be Green Dog, the beach surfer dude or something.
Great game.
Amazing. I only said Rude Dog, but he, of course, was Rude Dog of the Dweebs fame. I realise we're getting totally off topic, and Kate Gray being a young lady is like, what on earth are you talking about? Like, you know, Rude Dog and the Dweebs. You'll be talking about Ren and Stimpy next, and I'll be in the complete mess. Doom. Doom came out. Doom came back. Doom was quite good. I really enjoyed
it. People
Doom.
Really went mad for it, didn't they?
And I haven't unwrapped my copy at all.
But you were aware of Doom's return and its impact and the fact that it doesn't fuck around. It doesn't have a reload button.
Mm.
It's just, here are some demon things. Please murder them at your leisure. I quite like that. I know that there are some people that get quite... I was listening to a BBC Radio 5 podcast earlier on today, and they were talking about Doom and how, like, it's got all these old elements of the old lore involved, it like nudges and winks to the old games. I'm like, does it? I just saw a gun and a big fucking scary thing over there, and I went and murdered it, and like I pulled out someone's eye or something and stuck it into their mouth and they blew up. I mean, there was stuff in it. I tore off someone's jaw, I tore off someone's arm and whacked it with that. It's fantastically liberating. And I as someone who doesn't generally advocate terribly over-the-top violent video games, it was quite nice to have one that just took the piss.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't take itself seriously at all.
A lot of people really, really like it. It's another game I think it starts really badly. Really badly. It's a Doom game.
It gives you the shittest gun in
It's a Doom game. You get this fucking Nerf gun. And it's the thing, like, the original Doom is a thrash metal video game. Like, the guys who made it... Like,
it's Nine Inch Nails, the game. That's what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, that fucking Kill 'Em All, I think it is, so No Remorse by Metallica, they just ripped that off for Doom E1M1, the theme. And the game starts, and there's no fucking, it doesn't even say anything. Off you go, shoot stuff and open doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then you start this new Doom, it's like, oh no, the demons have come, and you have to sit through this cut. And then Cortana turns up.
It's very brief, though, Steve. Let's not be unfair about this. But, there are cutscenes, but they're like 20 seconds long.
But this is the thing: when you came from a game that just started and never really stopped, to have this, and then where's the music? Like, the music comes later. I'm like, where?
That's
the
a good point. Actually,
it's a Doom game that people love that isn't as good as Brutal Doom. It's just not as good as the mod for the original Doom. And so people get. I played it for like 4 or 5 hours, and as you get deeper into it, it does get a lot better in terms of the combat and how the levels are built.
As soon as you get to hell and it all ramps up a bit.
The opening is shit. I can't believe someone played that at id Software, regardless if the principles aren't there anymore, and they went, okay, so how does the new Doom game start? And like, yeah, you're on a bed, and then you get a pea shooter, and then you have to sit through a cutscene. You'd be like, are you fucking... It's like a joke in a video game about how they would do Doom again. Like, oh, right, we'll get cutscenes in it. I can imagine some people, I can already hear them going, Burns, talking a load of shit, how dare you? But, again, it does get a lot better.
yeah. I appreciate that we were meant to talk about favourite games, best games. And yeah. The last few have been kind of...
They're all terrible.
Almost, you've almost been quite down on them. I blame you, Steve.
How
entirely.
How very dare you.
So what? Pick out a couple more favourites for me before we very quickly move on to what might be coming out over the next 6 months. Just the two of you, throw some names at me. What have you enjoyed? You don't have to look at these cheat sheets.
No, but I can't remember any games that have come out.
Oh, fantastic.
I think it's been quite a sort of slow year so far. But I think maybe we should mention The Witness since everyone went so mad for it.
Yeah, Jay Blows.
Yeah, I've played a fair Jay bit Blow. Of it. And I like the puzzles. I do enjoy puzzles.
Is it too hard?
It's not...
Because I know some people have been very upset by it.
Yeah, it's hard.
like genuinely down about not being able to beat this game.
I mean, the main problem with it is it's kind of up its own arse. In a nice sort of way.
How is one nicely up their own arse?
It's like comfortably smug. Like you're going around picking up these like little snippets of like quotes by some famous scientist and you're going, oh, okay, I get it. You're smart. Cool. Can I be smart? And then the game goes, no! And you go, fair enough. Then I'll just go over here and look at some trees.
Does it have nice trees?
It does have nice trees. I think it's a very
something.
Good-looking game. But yeah. It's very easy to sort of... Like, you wander off down a little pathway. It's very good at, like, telling you where to go. But nothing else. You have no idea how to solve any of the puzzles. Mm. And sometimes when you do figure it out, you're like, yes, I am smart. And then the game goes, but remember, I'm smarter. And you go, yeah, okay, fine.
So it's not like the old BioShock hacking, where like if you couldn't do it, you could just cheat it. It'd be like, yeah, all right, I've got an auto-unlock. It doesn't give you a
All the puzzles...
It's not like BioShock, is what you're saying.
It's nothing like BioShock.
That's a real disappointment.
all the puzzles are based on grids, basically, and... So it can get a bit tiring when you've spent a few hours just looking at grids, going, that's another grid. And it's nice when you figure out how all the grids link together because there are recurring puzzles. I do feel like maybe some of them could have been different shapes. Maybe.
Triangle, maybe. The scariest of all shapes.
Too scary. Too scary for
too
The Witness.
Too scary. Jonathan Blow is like, no way, man.
But just, just like mix it up a bit. Be fun.
Then maybe that's going to come in... The Witness 2.
Yeah.
Witness Harder, whatever it's going to be called. Grid me some more. Grid me till I groan. Steve, any other big hits of your year thus far?
No, not in terms of things that are out.
No.
I did play the preview build of the new Pro Evolution new Soccer Pez. Game, which is really good. And so I played that at Konami for a little while. And by a little while, I mean like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And
it's worth a trip to Windsor.
Well, that's the thing is that preview
builds... Legoland, Pez.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Preview builds are like the old roadshow days. Not that I was there. I'm not that old of films.
No, so legs.
Well, we won't talk about those.
No, maybe not. Bad times.
But the two guys who wrote, it was Gale and Zemeckis, who wrote Back to the Future... They were talking in an interview about how when the Godfather or whatever was on somewhere, you saw it as much as you could because you never knew when you'd be able to see that thing again. And that's what preview codes are like. Mm. Like, do you want to come and play this game? Yeah, because I don't know when you're going to delay this fucker. But yeah, Pez, really good. It's like the best football game ever, but they made it just slightly better.
Just a bit better.
Describing football games is like, must be like selling razors.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's, you know, that
now this
that
one
other
has five blades.
It's really good. And, you know, until you kind of use it, you won't really. So here's just some ad, you know, very, here's some noise visually. But
this one has better grass, except
this one does have better grass.
Well, I did actually read, I mean, this is kind of like a semi self plug, but my boyfriend Joe did a preview of Pez that I quite liked. But he.
Mr. Joe Screbbles, right?
Yeah, he just talks
lovely
about
man.
Kicking and stuff in a sort of absurd way, which I guess is the way to do it. Because everyone knows what you're talking about. I don't know, I couldn't do it. Football, innit?
Yeah, I read that piece, it was good. Just capturing how silly it is to sit down and then try and articulate to someone. I mean, you can do it, but then you're like, okay, there's a lot of disappearing into your own arse. Like, well, if we're going to talk about it, so you're like, yeah.
I've played like 3 days solid of Football Manager once, so step aside. Yeah.
Quite the addiction. I believe that can become. But I'm glad we transitioned very, very, very briefly. I want to talk about stuff that is coming out. In fact, before I do that, I'm just going to run through some other games very, very quickly that I've really enjoyed. Because I did write a list
And now the
list must be...
I want to shout out Blood and Wine, The Witcher 3 DLC. I know it's DLC, but it's fucking game of its own. It's amazing. Yeah. If you like The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, just go and get this. It's brilliant, but it's all shiny and sunny and a lot happier. And there's it's a lot camper and there's lots of fun things in there.
You get a butler, right?
Yeah, he's called a major domo.
Butler.
Yeah, he like hangs out in your house and like employs painters
and makes
to come
you feel
and do it
bad
up.
When you don't have enough money.
He bloody well does. He's like, oh well, sir. Never mind, sir. Better
you,
go out and kill
like
some more harpies, sir.
Your shit house, and you're like, I'd love to, but how much? And he's like, this much.
I've made some room for you to hang a picture, sir. What do you mean you don't have any pictures, sir? What's wrong with you, sir? You're so uncultured. Go fucking kill a chort or whatever they're called. But yeah, love The Witcher 3. That's really great. I'm just starting. I've been playing it for a few weeks, but Fire Emblem Fates on the 3DS is really great. Kind of real-time strategy game with a big, kind of big beating heart of family turmoil at the middle of it, which I'm really enjoying. Anyone play Action Henk when it came out earlier this year?
I played a little bit.
Butt slide to victory or with glory, whatever it's called.
Man.
A big man with a big ass sliding down like Hot Wheels tracks and stuff. Yeah. Fantastic. Ooh. And I want to give a shout out to Ratchet & Clank as well, the comeback of Ratchet & Clank, because I really, really enjoyed that a lot. And I appreciate that we're in a bit of a revivalist year with Doom and that, and there was Shadow of the Beast as well. But I think of all of them, actually, Ratchet & Clank is the one that did the best job of creating on a screen what my brain thinks that game was like. Mm. You know, it's not a remake from the source material. It's a remake from an imagination, the imagination's version of the source material.
Yeah, and I really, it's like really Resi like Remake, that. Taking the things that you thought it was about or looked like. Mm. I love that people got to play Crash Bandicoot again in Uncharted 4 and realise it's a load of shit.
Crash Bandicoot,
Crash Bandicoot
right?
is fucking rubbish. That's... it's like if that, the best thing about Uncharted is like they had to crowbar that in. They wanted you to be able to play that game.
Yeah.
And so now it makes precisely zero sense as to why in, what, the year 2016, 7, depending on where you think that the narrative actually jumps to, that they've got a working original model PlayStation in the front room. It sounds like a really, like...
It's less about when they play it together, though, isn't it? It's more about the thing we probably shouldn't say.
But it sounds like a nitpick, but it's a classic... Okay, we want our fans to have this fan service at the expense of the thing that...
Does it mean that Bandicoot's coming back, though?
I hope not.
Because
it's been... It was always crap. Like, it's just...
I think it's had its time, hasn't it?
Another Spyro the Dragon game.
How did you guys feel about the actual Crash Bandicoot sequences later on in the game where you're doing the running towards the camera?
Oh, well, like, the thing is, like, obviously the Bandicoot stuff foreshadowed the whole running away from the armoured car. I was just like, you know, running towards a camera in a game, I don't think is ever a good thing.
No, it's very frustrating. It's kind of...
Apart from actually in Ratchet and Clank, there's bits in Ratchet and Clank that does that, but it's just that step, few steps back when you're Clank, the little robot, and you're in the guts of a base and you're being chased by a big, I can't remember what it's called, big bloody robot wants to kill you, and you know it's showing little targets where it's going to shoot its missiles and stuff, and you have to like, it's all right. The sections only last a little while, so they're fine. What else is coming out? For the rest of the year, what might we see at E3 and what's coming out for the year? I'm quite excited about Final Fantasy 15, which I don't suppose anyone else is, but what I've played, what I've seen, I'm super up for. It looks gorgeous, and I want a new Witcher, basically, and I think that could be my new Witcher.
Oh, it's not going to be that good.
No.
But instead of a horse that doesn't fucking go where you want it to, you've got a car, which...
breaks down. This is the whole thing.
Yeah, but you do get it fixed again. That was the whole...
Only after 8 hours of fucking around with your boy band.
Episode Disc Guy with the Sid who wasn't dressed appropriately for engineering work.
Hey now.
And then when I asked my wife about this, I said, do you not think she's not, you know, dressed inappropriately for her job? She went, well why? She doesn't want to get oil in her clothes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Might as well
I would totally dress like that if I was doing the car.
Nipple tassels and pants.
There you
really go.
May as well just wear nothing.
Less washing.
But I'm quite up for Final Fantasy 15. More Hitman for you, presumably, Steve. But what else for the two of you is on the radar that you were looking forward to?
So a thing we're going to be seeing at E3 that is... I mean, I've mostly clung on to it because there is nothing happening with Nintendo, but and it's not Legend of Zelda, which is what you might be thinking, but it's not. Zero Time Dilemma.
Oh, hello. So 3DS.
So it's a 3DS, and I think Vita.
Visual novel?
Won't be playing on the Vita. Maybe anyone will.
Diss. Sick diss. Yeah.
So it's the third game in a series that I only started playing last year.
It's after the nine rooms.
Yeah, so nine something else.
And then Virtue's Last Reward. Right?
And then Virtue's Last
I'm
Reward, yes.
I'm talking over you, sorry.
No, it's all right, no. So I didn't know what to expect. I'd had the 999 game on my sort of wish list for, you know, 5 years. And when I played it, at first I was like, this is really slow. And it takes forever to actually get to a point, and then it ends really soon, but then you have to play it again, so you get a different ending. And then I sort of realised what the game was trying to do, and then I liked it a lot. And it takes a long time to get into the actual meat of the story, so it doesn't make sense for the first two times you play it through, I would say. And then you start to realise the point of everything it's trying to tell you. And it's kind of the same in Virtue's Last Reward as well. There are some...
Which is about coming locked in and with other people, but some of them have to die. Is that not right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember because I get them both sort of, you know,
or people
mixed
can
up.
Die.
Yeah, and some of the puzzles are, you know, slightly tedious in that sort of escape the roomy kind of way where it's like, oh, this you know, cage needs a combination. How are we going to find the numbers? Oh, they're individually painted on the bottom of rocks. And we were in a room full of rocks. And, you know, it can be a bit like, ah, okay, cool. But it kind of flows along quite nicely. So that's never a huge problem, though I did have to look it up a few times. But that's just an escape the
reasonable.
Room thing.
That's why companies employ guides editors.
Yes.
Right? You know.
Lots of them.
Loads of
nice
them.
Nice people.
Are any of us still hyped, or were we ever, for No Man's Sky?
No. They seem like nice people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot made about that it's a small team and all of that, which is fine. I think aesthetically it looks interesting, but I wonder how much...
Do you think it could be quite shallow, ultimately? Despite this promise of loads of things to do, it's all kind of the same thing you do, just in different places.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know that. I'd hope it wasn't like that, but...
I know people have had quite a negative reaction to it when they played it.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite boring. But I love the look of it, and I love the fact that it's a sci-fi game that doesn't... that looks warm and inviting, not just like, look at the hostility of space. This is more like, no, come and swim in the galaxies, and it's all wonderful.
So I was never really that hyped for it. I was like, okay, let's see. This is the thing, a lot of people get really, really excited, and then they get burned, and that can only happen a few times. Before you're like, well, it's the same with Watch Dogs 2. People are going crazy for that reveal trailer. It's like, you do remember the original Watch Dogs, right?
Yeah.
And when you saw that, like, it's going to be the greatest. Oh, fucking yes. And you're like, okay.
And then it came out.
And, you're like,
and then it came out on Wii U.
It did.
Which really did bring the whole thing crashing down around itself.
So, no, I don't...
But it's really, you know, about not being excited for No Man's Sky. Maybe it's been too long. And I wonder how people are still... excited for The Last Guardian, the same reasons, like this thing that's been teased and teased and teased.
In my mind, it exists as a kind of video gaming apocalypse now, in that, you know, it's going to come. They're going to come out of the jungle and have like a million miles of this game to assemble, and they're nearly there now. And maybe it will be good. Mm. And in fairness to Team Ico, their previous games are very good.
You wonder if it'll be like super short, and you know, the internet will get angry because
and look like a PS3 game.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look amazing. Which is natural because it's the, you know, it started on PS3, it's come to PS4.
Yeah.
You
I think
know,
the
a little
style
bit like Until Dawn did, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know. Last year's E3, when I arrived, they had the conferences and there was all this big bluster about, oh, we're going to get the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter, we're going to get Final Fantasy 7 remake, and we're going to get all these things that we really wanted. And then I'm watching it, and like certain other like outlets, particularly the American ones, people are standing on their chairs and whooping and hollering.
There were tears.
You've got people like on their knees going, thank you. And then a week later, it turns out that Shenmue hasn't got enough money to do whatever, and Final Fantasy is coming in three different parts, which I loved because that's what they deserve. If you want, you deserve that. For being on them so much, and when they deliver it with the budget that they have to do it for you, and then you get crazy. You deserve to be pissed off like that. Because the cult of fandom around that game, it's like...
You saying that Yu Suzuki has effectively waited this long to the
troll. I love Shenmue 2. Shenmue 2 is like my Christmas game. You put it on, run around Hong Kong or whatever, and you're like...
Kowloon City, just hanging out, yeah.
It's really fucking good. Do I have any faith whatsoever they're going to deliver? It's like Coppola. Oh, wait, 16 years to The Godfather 3, so I need the money. Oh, no, it's not very good, is it?
Not the best idea, no. But also, when you mentioned about the money thing, I mean, didn't those first two Shenmue games cost upwards of $80 million or something?
And it's all on the screen as well. Yeah. It is. Well, I was playing the other day.
Oh, it's gorgeous. You know, it is.
But yeah, there's no.
Even though it's all kind of stiff and square. You know. I only play. Yeah.
I mean, it's near unplayable now. Trying to move Ryo Hizuki around.
You have to adjust the
He moves like a cow. That's bizarre. But yeah, E3, I think the most exciting thing that's going to come out of E3 is hardware stuff. PlayStation Neo or.
4.5s.
Yeah.
Boring news.
It is a bit boring, isn't it? Because it feels like we only just got these. New
Unless
shiny machines.
There's a new 3DS that works in the fourth dimension. I don't really care
a
about
a 3DS
hardware.
That works in the fourth dimension.
Imagine. Yeah.
What's it do? Like, just blow at you. Like, when you're in Zelda and it's raining, it just like sprays water at your face.
Oh, that would actually be great, wouldn't it?
Water and electronics.
Fun fact, not that fun. I actually got my job at O&M because I wrote a sample piece. You have to write a sample piece to interview. About Nintendo inventing Smell-O-Vision, which sounds really lame because it is. But I actually sort of like wrote it as if it was kind of a new 3DS and like it wasn't very good because, you know, Mario's a plumber and that would smell real bad. And yeah.
So you go into the pipes, jing, jing, jing. You have to scratch this little bit on the manual. And you're like, fucking hell, Luigi. <Yeah. laughs> Couldn't you have gone before we left home? You know, terrible, terrible scenes.
If it happens, though, I'm going to sue him because I said it first. I think that's how it works.
You heard it here first. Well, not quite first. Are we bothered about new Call of Duty?
Nope.
New Battlefield?
Nope.
There's guns. One in space, one in the past. It's all right.
Yeah, Battlefield 1.
People are going to enjoy it with the shit guns that break. I want to know if it's going to be like Far Cry 2 where all the guns break.
Yeah.
Because that would be shit.
Like they backfire and you die.
Yeah, like you go to shoot a German man over there because he's going to kill you, but your own gun blows your hand off.
Yeah, that can realism.
Be something.
No, just be... You'll have loads of stick grenades and stuff, won't you?
Stick grenades.
You'll be like, oh, I'm on the Somme. There'll be like a capture the flag on the Somme.
17-year-olds dying in the mud beneath your feet.
And you're like, this is
screaming
great.
Screaming for their mothers.
What if there's like a mini game about having trench foot?
Imagine if there's a match three game in it, just in the middle of it. And you're like, just, you know, matching, I don't know, little crosses and things.
You've got to find bits of the letter to your wife that you're sending before you go over
or
the
body
top.
Parts. You know, match body parts. But, you know, it was apparently quite a horrific time in human history. So base more games on it, guys.
It wasn't like one of those good wars.
It wasn't one of those wars
where you're like, that's fine. We're fine.
Has gaming done much around Vietnam? I'm probably going down a...
Had a few passes at it.
A few passes. That feels like another war that you probably shouldn't touch.
But people just see the headline stuff, then they're like, well, just put sympathy for the devil in it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get an Apache helicopter or whatever, you can shoot people.
Clear heroes and villains. amazing.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much done here. Kate, Steve, thank you for coming in. If you're listening to this, wherever you are, and you've got your own favourites that we didn't mention, you can tweet Vice Gaming at Vice Gaming. It's really easy. It's literally what we're called. But where can people of the internet and the real world, not that they really exist, find you guys online, on the Twitter or whatnot? Kate, where can we harass you / make friends with you?
No harassment.
No, sorry, I definitely don't want to promote that. Please only send nice messages and notes of support and wonderful links to fun dogs.
Dogs are good. You're only allowed to talk to me if you're going to be nice to me. You can find me on Twitter at @HowNotToDraw. I'm also on things like Instagram, also @HowNotToDraw. I put pictures of food and dogs up. And that's
food and dogs.
Bounty.
Ever together? In the same image?
No, surprisingly not.
That's phase two. Phase two of your Instagram campaign. Steve?
At videogamer.com and on Twitter and Insta.
You're on all those.
At the Steve Bernio.
You're on all the platforms. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not. If you want to find me personally, just don't. Just follow the Vice account. Because all I tweet about is how disappointed I am in Ronald Koeman.
Leave that for that the pub, note. Michael.
Cooman?
I believe. I don't know.
He wiped his bum with a German shirt, though, in 1988.
Yeah.
So.
Is this a football thing?
It is. Should we get off football and go down the pub? Let's do that. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye now.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.